Brother Tommy read that first chapter in the book of Ephesians. And I want just to pass on a few maybe encouragements from this first chapter of Ephesians. This letter was written by Paul during the time he was a prisoner at Rome. It was written to strengthen the saints there and to encourage them to persevere in their Christian faith. It was only 64 years after Christ, so therefore we know that it wasn't many generations, not many generations had passed from the Saviour had been taken from them and crucified. And Paul writes to them to give them encouragement. And just as the saints did need encouragement in Paul's day, so we need encouragement even on this our day. We're very prone to feel all the discouragements from the world all around us, and we need all the encouragements we can get, and there's plenty to be had in this book. The blessings which we have read about in these first 14 verses in particular of this chapter, they're still for the believer today. They might have been written in Paul's time to the church at Ephesus, but they're still very applicable to this our day and generation, as is all the scripture that is before and after it. And after Paul introduces himself in the first two verses, he then says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ." He has blessed us or favoured us with all spiritual blessings. This morning in the service, our thoughts were turned to that verse 18, chapter 30 of Isaiah, and were pointed to blessings that we can receive in this year that we've just commenced and the year lies before us. But tonight I want to turn your thoughts to some blessings that we as children of God already have in Christ. You know, they're maybe not for everybody. They're only for those in this meeting that are saved. If you're a believer, you can have the joy and the fulfillment and have the fulfillment of all these blessings in your life. They're catalogued in these verses in front of us. In the first verse 4, we read, "Chosen us. He has chosen us and him before the foundation of the world." Paul reminds us, the saints, at the beginning of this letter, that they're a chosen people. They're a special people, privileged people, a people set apart, chosen of God. And in John 15 and verse 16, we read, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." It's good to know that you're chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. And you might say to me, "Well, am I chosen?" Well, there's, as the message from the Word of God is simple. "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out." And you can come, and if you come, may not cast you out. Therefore, you'll be called one of the chosen. Every sportsman will testify to the fact that it's a great honour, it's something that he would long to do, is to represent the country of his birth. And to be chosen for the country to run, or whatever it is, for the country of your birth, that's something that a sportsman will aspire to. But you know, there's a wee thought there. You're only chosen for a short time. You'll only represent your country. You'll be only chosen while you're good enough. You know, the thought there is, we're chosen eternally. Not because we were good enough, but because of Christ's atoning death on Calvary. He's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Not only have we the blessing of being chosen, but we read in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Paul is telling the saints at Ephesus, they haven't only been chosen, but they've been foreordained for adoption unto the family of God. You know, an orphan has one child that has lost its parents. But that orphan can be adopted unto another family. There's a procedure and a process that has to be gone through. But you know, we were orphaned by Adam in the Garden of Eden. But through Adam's sin. But we're brought back to God. We're brought back into the fold, into the family of God, through Christ's death on Calvary. Romans 8 and 15 says, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We can call, if we're in the family of God, well then we can call him Abba, Father. We can call him our Heavenly Father. We're made, when we were saved, we're made joint heirs with Christ. And not only has he chosen us and predestinated us, but Paul goes on to say in verse 6, he has made us accepted in the beloved. We were brought, Paul is saying here, he has brought you unto grace and made you the object of that grace in Christ. He reminds the saints at Ephesus, they weren't always accepted and the beloved. Verse 2 of chapter 2 says, for in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But if you turn, if you look on down to verse 12, at that time you were without Christ. But verse 13, but now in Jesus Christ, and now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You're accepted and the beloved. What a blessing to know that in your own soul. Then in verse 7, we have another blessing. He has redeemed us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The Oxford Dictionary, I looked it up, the meaning of the word redemption, and it says, save a person from damnation. But then there's another wee line after that, and it says, and I quote, Christians believe that Christ redeemed us all. I think we could take issue with that. Christ didn't redeem us all, but he's redeemed those that have come to him by faith. There was a price to be paid for our redemption, and it wasn't silver and gold, but we were bought by the precious blood of Christ. The wee hymn says, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, not by silver and gold, but redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a blessing to know tonight that you're redeemed and you're on your road to glory, soon to see the city bright. Then there's another blessing at verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Abound means to have something in great quantities. And through God's word, God has given us people abundance, an abundance of all that we'd ever need. He's given wisdom to discern right from wrong and good from evil. Maybe that's not always very evident in the day and generation that we live in. Has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Prudent means not to be rash. It's practical wisdom. And when Jesus sent forth the 12 disciples, he told them to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Matthew 10. Verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. God has given us the knowledge that we need, even to get through this short time that we're down here below. You know, it's only a short time. We've seen that even the past week. But it's a time that is for preparation for each one of us for that great eternity that lies before us. There's another blessing then to be found in verse 9. It's maybe not as clear as the ones before. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You know, the mystery that is being referred to here as the mystery that the Gentile nation should be included as part of God's elect. These people that Paul is writing to at Ephesus, they're a Gentile nation. And Paul's reminding them that although they're uncircumcised and they don't observe the Mosaic laws and rites and ceremonies, yet they're still partakers of Christ. It's still a mystery why God should set his love upon any one of us. But it's a gift of the grace of God. Then we have another blessing in verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Along with the blessings of being chosen, predestinated, accepted in the beloved, redeemed, abounded towards in wisdom and prudence, knowing the mystery of God's will, Paul reminds the brethren here that they have an inheritance. And it's an inheritance that they don't have to wait upon until they pass out of this life, but it's an inheritance that they already possess. They possess it in Christ by promise. 1 Peter 1 and 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Is it reserved? Have you got that inheritance? We all have an inheritance after this life. But it's not all in God's heaven. Some are excluded. And you're excluded if your name's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we read in Luke 12 about two brothers. One of them said, "Master, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me." That was an earthly inheritance. But the Saviour's answer to him was, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses." It's nice to have, to inherit something in this world. But how much better is it not to have an inheritance beyond the grave? Maybe you, like myself, haven't much inheritance to look forward to down here. But we have an inheritance promised of eternal life. That's something that'll outlast just a few years that we're down here. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." No one needs to exclude themselves. Tonight, if you're not saved, if there's one in the meeting, you can have that inheritance. You can go home assured of that inheritance. There's another blessing here to be found, and it's found in verse 13. "After that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Greek interpretation of having believed is believing, is still believing. It's on the moment that you trust in Christ, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What a great blessing it was for the saints at Ephesus to be reminded that they were sealed as believers in Christ. John 3:5 says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't receive the kingdom of God." What a great encouragement even to each one of us tonight, if we're saved, to know that we're chosen, that he has chosen us, that he has predestinated us to adoption. He has accepted us and the beloved. He has redeemed us. He has abounded towards us in wisdom and prudence. He has made known to us the mystery of his will. He has given us an inheritance. And finally, he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. In closing, Matthew Henry says that God has laid up for us spiritual blessings, but we have to draw them out in prayer. May this year that we've just set out upon be that year when we'll know many blessings bestowed upon us, many blessings drew down from the bank of heaven and prayer. And if any here not saved tonight, may may this be the night that you will turn, while the Saviour and mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbour light. For how do you know but your soul could be drifting over the deadline?